Well, a very good evening to you, and thank you for tuning into Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry on this Monday evening. And what a bright Monday evening it actually is. I say it's the first evening I'm in studio where I don't even need the light on, so hopefully you're out enjoying yourselves, going for a bit of a walk or something, but you have us on in the background as well. Maybe you never know. We'll keep you entertained for 2 hours. Donal Barry, of course, with you for the next 2 hours, and we're going to reflect back at the weekend's action, of course, in the Ireland's National Football League and the Hurling League as well. And we'll take a look back as well at Kerry Camogie's league clash there against Laois, which saw Kerry earn a spot in the Division 2 League final. What a fantastic result that was. And that course matches the ladies' footballers' achievement of qualifying for the Division 1 League final. So in many ways, the women are showing the men up and how to do it this year, with both ladies' teams in their finals. And maybe that's a good thing as well. That might put a little bit more spotlight on those teams in the run-up to those finals as well, and all that's very welcome. After 7.15 this evening, Niamh Lean, of course, will join us to chat about that Camogie result. James McCarthy, of course, and Richard Foran. They'll talk hurling just after 7. And then from 7.30 this evening, we have something very special as we go back to our kind of club focus and we chat with some people behind various clubs throughout the county. We done it last year, remember, we done it with two assistants, St. Michael's Filemore, and we had the Ballymac boys inside here one night as well. But this time it's the turn of Beaufort to GAA. We're heading to meet Kerry, and one of those people will be a 10-time All-Ireland winner. I wonder who that'll be. People can guess that if you want. But for the first hour this evening, it's football, and all the focus on the, I suppose, Alliance National League, as Kerry rounded up their last game of the league with a loss to Galway in an entertaining game, I suppose you would classify it. Certainly showed a lot of promise. Now, if you want to join us, give us a call on 0667123666 or text us on 083 300 3300 to be part of the show. And as I say every week, we really appreciate the time that you take to listen to us, first of all, and we really appreciate those texts and comments. It's such a big part of the show, and it's great to meet people out and about as well over the weekend, and certainly even talking to the boys here, a lot of people talking about Terrace Talk, and it's all fantastic and all very positive. Now, Kerry's reign as league champions is over after Jack O'Connor's men lost to Galway yesterday in round 7 of the Division 1 of the Alliance National League. And I suppose in the end, the report card will show that Kerry won 3, lost 4. I suppose it much like your leaving certs, boys. Was this kind of, you could have done a bit better. So I'm joined here by Liam Broston, of course, and John Kennedy, and they're going to delve into the match. And we will talk about the match this week. I suppose last week it took a life of its own last week, John. We headed off and started talking about games and the way it should be played, but we'll go back to what we're good at this week and we'll talk about the game. John, first of all, your own takeaway from the game. A lot of people came out of Salt Hill yesterday evening feeling fairly positive. I mean, it was a loss, but it wasn't a disastrous loss. We played a little bit of good stuff, a lot of old failings the same way. How did you see it?
Yeah, something similar to that, Donal. I think that, look, it was a did Kerry want to get to the league final is a big question. You know, I don't think
it really depends on what week it was, wasn't it?
Exactly.
We were going and we weren't going with a chance of going, but
yeah, exactly. But look, it was a good test. Galway are improving, no doubt. I think they've got a few good young fellas coming in there. Johnny McGrann, Sean Fitzgerald, two cornerbacks, did exceptionally well. I think they're a great league campaign. John Maher back in the middle of the field, very impressive. And I think Matthew Tierney and Tom O'Callaghan up front. Tierney's a real find. He's a great guy for kickouts. He's able to kick a score. And the Comer coming back, it showed that Galway wanted to get to the league final. Because would they have risked Comer if they didn't want to? I don't think they would. It was a good test. You know, we made a few mistakes. I suppose one of the big ones was the goal. Shane Murphy, unlucky. He'd have to post ball, end up on the net. A big score, really. And then Bernard Power made 2 or 3 great saves. Could have been a different scoreline. But overall, I think, look, a mixed bag in the league. We kept our Division 1 status. We spoke so many weeks here how tight and how competitive it is, really down to the wire yesterday. Look what Monaghan did, the great escape again. 1 point off of relegation, but we stayed up. I think that's important. And Jack O'Connor has been saying it for quite a number of weeks now. Being behind, a lot of work to be done. Now we have a 4-week gap, a training trip coming up in Portugal. I think that hopefully that when we see them on the field again, there will be a freshness about them. Because quite a number of the lads look lackluster, look a bit leggy, and it's very difficult to juggle hard running and a block of training and games and to be fresh. Mm-hmm. But look, we kept our Division 1 status and improved performance and an improved game as well, Donal, I think. It was both teams wanted to go out and play a bit defensive, but attacking as well. Some great scores got and, you know, the end of a mixed campaign.
You'll always get that with Galway, though.
Well, yeah.
There'll always be more football played when Kerry and Galway play.
Mm-hmm. Liam, I suppose yesterday when Tom Culhane put that point over in the 20th minute and Galway were 6 points to two, I won't lie, I thought, my God, it's going to be a bit of a cakewalk for Galway. Well, Kerry knuckled down after it, didn't
they? They did, they settled, took a bit to settle, and I suppose, look, the league is, as we've been saying from the start, winner home games, and I think that's for the same for every county, and Galway were always going to be a tough nut to crack up there, and you could see, and even after the interviews after the game yesterday, they want to win this final, you know, and Mayo are much the same. Like it's a national title, so you'll have two teams going hell for leather. So Galway weren't going to be rolling over easy for us yesterday, and it proved that way. Yeah, I suppose, look, it was an improved performance by Kerry in ways. You know, it has been a very topsy-turvy kind of a league campaign for us compared to last year. If you ask me now, Donal, this time last year, would we win All Ireland? I'd say, yeah, no bother. I said, we're going well. If you ask me now, I'd be scratching my head, because I still find that we have a lot of improving to do. And I don't know, have we enough of time to do it? Have we the players to do it? It's just our structure. We just don't defensively. We're just kind of all over the place at the moment. And I think that's where we started last year, was our defence was rock solid, and we win from there. But just at the moment, we seem to be under pressure defensively, and then when we're coming out with the ball, we're running into corners. And I know everyone's saying, look, we're behind, and they're blaming the team holiday and all this kind of crack. Like, we're only 16, 17 weeks away from an All-Ireland final. No, we're only 4 weeks, 5 weeks away from the start of the championship for us. There's a lot of good teams there. No, there's teams there that we could end up in a quarter final very quick against a very good team, and you'd be hoping that, and that's what we this time last year we weren't hoping. We knew going into games how good we were, our performances. So in 4 or 5 weeks' time, we're all going to be hoping that we'll see a different Kerry team.
Mm-hmm. And their own Robin is going to make it more difficult.
Still, yeah, yeah.
Do you know, at before you won a quarter final, now you have 3 competitive games. Like,
but is that what Kerry needs? I mean, do Kerry need competitive games? Like, Kerry played their best football last year when it was winner burst against Dublin. I mean, when you go into the field and know that you have to win this or you're out.
We had momentum last year, though. Going into big games, we had great momentum.
Did that come with fitness, though?
With fitness and confidence. You know, I think confidence, and John probably see with club football as well. When teams are winning, you'll even win poor games, and you'll stumble across lines when you're not playing well. You know, and you could see the weekend, you know, fellas, our confidence isn't there. Mm. You
know? But the one thing I'd say is that we weren't ran off any field in any league game. Any game that we lost, we could have won it as well. You know, we weren't too far behind. We could have got a result in Donegal. We really should have, really.
Yeah.
We could have got a result yesterday, bar, I suppose, everybody looking at the one mistake. I mean, at the end of the day, that mistake clears itself up bigger because the score was 2 points at the end. But I mean, there was a lot of other contributing factors to why we lost that yesterday. It wasn't particularly...
But you know what's more disappointing, Donal? After the first two games, we had to bring back the two Cliffords and Shawnee Shea to get the points to keep us up.
Yeah.
Had we those playing above Donegal, we'd have won the 2 points, we'd be in a final maybe. Mm-hmm. It says, like, you can look at everything and we're behind in training and we had the team holiday and all that, but the conveyor belt coming through, is it as good as what we thought?
Yeah.
Maybe not. Well, and there is a gap, like.
We are hampered with a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
Injuries was major. Like, I suppose, look, in the other side of it, Barry Dan, Tony and Donal O'Sullivan are probably good finds for us come championship. I thought Stephen O'Conbar, when he is fit, he is an idiot, because his physical presence alone, and he can do a lot of roles for us. So hopefully he come back and he can last a full championship season, be a big addition to us. Now you lost likes of Dan O'Donoghue, Mike Breen, and all guys like Joe O'Connor was going to be a big man for us this year as well, you know, to add a little bit of a thing around the middle of the field.
There's not problems that every county have. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, Armagh have lost Rene O'Neill. I mean, you just have to put what you have out, and I suppose as managers and selectors to make the best that they can do with him.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, the campaigns of Ratmore and the campaigns of Fossa, there was so much probably against the management team, you know, and the new for holiday and the whole lot thrown in. But we do, and John hit the nail on the head at the very start there. We look leggy, you know, we don't, I know the heavy training, but we don't, there's no bit of freshness. No. So you'll be hoping in the next 4 or 5 weeks that we get that freshness back, and that'll be the bite.
How is that freshness coming about, Liam? I mean, you're 4 weeks in now, you've no more games to play anyway, so there's no more results and there's no more chances of being injured. You could be injured at training, of course. What's the training focus, would you think, looking in from the outside?
I suppose the training will probably be more sharper now. I suppose they were probably doing a lot of heavy running, a lot of heavy weights and stuff like that. It's all about tapering it up now, the more for quickness and stuff like that. Plus they're going away for a week. I suppose the bonding will be more important than anything else, you know, to get a bit of morale, bit of confidence going again, you know. So the small little things like that, like you said, we didn't lose a whole pile of games by much, and it's percentages, 1 and 2 percentages that get you over the line in big games that you need, even if we can get 1%, there's a saying out there, if we get 1% out of every 15 fellas that start, your team is improved by 15%, you know. So it's just small things, and I think all these little things will help Kerry.
There was one ball yesterday, Donal, a ball out the wing by Paddy Clifford to Sean Ishea.
That's right, yeah.
He just hadn't the energy to get there. He hadn't that sharpness.
That didn't happen last year.
Yeah. And that's no fault of his. I think it's where we're at. And I think the legs are just heavy, like Liam said. A lot of heavy work done, that sharpness will come, no doubt.
That ball was reminiscence of a ball that was played to Donald Sutton against Mayo as well, out to the wing, and the ball went over the wing as well. Yeah. So I suppose, there's a sharpness. Can I take you back to a point about Galway yesterday and watching Galway. Obviously, it was at home. Obviously, they were up against the All-Ireland champions. Obviously, I suppose there was a greater need for revenge, and maybe that's why Comer came on to ensure the game was brought home as well. Shane Walsh, our good friend Shane Walsh, 5 points, none from play. I mean, he was held yesterday from general play by a team that we're talking that are 40% behind the gap. That bodes well.
Definitely does, and it just shows no more than teams that are studying the likes of David Clifford, teams are doing a lot of homework now on these guys, so that's where the other guys around the place left. Like, if there's 3 fellas around David Clifford, where's the 3 open fellas? You know, so, and it's the same with Shane Welsh, you know, these guys are going to be heavily marked, so that's where a lot of this homework and, you know, probably all these stats and all this data that everyone's talking about at the moment, you know, put that aside. Maybe it's a case of, no lads, you know, we'll look, if we can kick 10 balls into David Clifford, if he only wins 3 of them, he'll probably get 3 goals out of it. If we don't kick it into him, we won't get scores. So I think, you know, the GPSs and all these now, put them aside a small bit. Like, there's no point giving out to Darren.
Turning into Denny Long, will you?
Yeah. Like, there's no point. Like, say Darren Moynihan, and I don't know what's happening with Darren Moynihan's head or whoever, or if I was wing forward, but if I kick 20 balls into David Clifford and he only wins 6 of them, am I going to get a sheet on Tuesday night of training telling me that I kicked away, you know, 12, 13 balls? Why did I kick 13 balls? But is there a sheet there saying that the 7 balls that I kicked into him, he kicked 1-4, 1-5? No, is that it? No, but I think players are just afraid to do that little bit extra and take chances. And I think that's across the board in every team.
Yeah. Let's talk about chances. 25 minutes gone yesterday, 6-3. Double scores, of course, Galway kind of cantering away. Kerry, Thomas Sullivan kicking off a bad wide, if you can remember that, to the left. Sean Ishea then, of course, put a wide over. And then Paddy Clifford, after a great hand pass there by Paul Murphy, he put it over with 6-3. At that stage, both teams had 9 scoring chances each. Kerry had scored 3 and Galway had scored 6. That's simply sharpness, is it?
I think it is, and in front of goals. We missed, uncharacteristically, we missed a few chances. Do you know, Shawnee, Paddy, David, Tony Brosnan. Do you know, like, Tom Sullivan...
It tells me, that we created an opportunity to get into a situation where we could score. So that part of the jigsaw isn't broken.
No, but we're doing that all year. Like, I just flicked the page there now. Like, our shot conversion all year is between 43%, and the highest was against Monaghan, actually, at 68%. All last year, we were up in the 60s to the 70s. Like, we're... most of our games were only in the 50s this year.
Yeah,
so it's just that little bit of sharpness, probably.
The sharpness that you're just that yard ahead of the guy... You have position and you're kicking, whereas you're not getting away from him. You're under pressure with your shots. Some of them are blocked down. How many have we had into the goalie? that power isn't there. Like, mm-hmm. It's just the shot.
The one thing that struck me yesterday was when we got up the field, and we got up the field a good bit, Galway seemed to shepherd us quite easily into a corner. I mean, how many times were we out around the corner flag? And obviously it is easier to defend a corner. I mean, you can put two fellas and all of a sudden you can't get out. But when Galway came up the field, just straight down the middle, and they seemed to have players to the left of them and to the right of them wanting and going straight on again. Why aren't we doing this?
That's going back to my point of not taking a chance. The easy kick, if I'm a halfback or a midfielder, is the one out to the corner for a guy running into. Not to pinpoint the one straight down the middle that the guys run into. So I think it's just, a lot of that is just confidence. We just don't have the confidence. We were doing them kicks last year. Mm-hmm. Now we were hitting David Clifford inside the full forward line. We were hitting guys running out. Now it's the easy kick into the corner off the side of the boot, and the corner forward runs into it. And probably, and John, you play corner forward as well, it's the worst place to get a ball because there's nothing you can do with it.
Mm-hmm. But like, you look at Galway, where are Galway at in terms of the season? Like, you know, they're in a Connacht Championship in a few weeks' time. We have a different championship to look forward to. You know, we have a month now before our game, whereas Galway, I think, are a good bit ahead of us.
Oh, yeah.
They're sharper. They looked fresher yesterday. I think maybe a lot of their hard work was done a number of weeks ago, because the Sean Kellys and the Conroys and these guys, Tierneys, they're moving very freely. Their mobility. Sean Kelly took off yesterday and, you know, a couple of 1-2s and he broke. He was gone straight through. Shane Welsh, they're all fresh and they're sharp.
Why are they fresher? I mean, if you think about it, they got to the All-Ireland final the same date that we did. I presume they all played their current championship like we did later on. They seem to be a good bit fresher, obviously. I mean, they probably have bigger players that, obviously, Tierney and we'll say, they found a few extra players as well, where we're looking at our strength and depth, and we're probably maybe scratching our heads now saying, maybe we don't have the strength and depth that we thought we had, because we have an awful lot of players playing yesterday that played in the All-Ireland final, where they had a couple that were above average that didn't play.
Yeah.
Like, you have Killian McDade and the goalie Conor Gleeson to come in. Damien Comer only made a cameo appearance. So, like, they certainly have got a few. You know, and I think that Ian Burke from Corrifin, he'll be coming into the panel. They certainly have. But look,
they're just playing a better structure. Yeah. You know, it's going back to what we had. Like, we had a structure last year. We have no structure. When we turn the ball over now at the moment, we're kind of, we have no kind of, between the half forward line, midfield and half back line, there's no out ball. There's not a kind of way. And we go so far then and we kick it into the corner.
Mm-hmm. I think, Donald, we've said it a few times, David Moran's loss.
Massive.
You know, it's not what he did. His positional sense. He was in front of Tadhg Marley. Marley was in front of Jason Foley. Solid defence.
Mm-hmm. Well, we might chat about that after the break, of course, and we'll continue the discussion about the game. A couple of comments coming in if you want to shout out. 0667123666 or text us there on 083 300 3300. We have a couple of calls coming in already. Donald, Kerry being below par all league. It's the support. If the supporters know it, then the players know it and the management know it as well. Now it's time to park that and prepare for the only championship that matters, and hopefully our stars will perform as good as they should. It's an interesting comment, really, and I suppose we'll discuss it more. If supporters know it, players know it. John, you know from playing yourself, there's days you go home and you say, God, that was pretty average, or that was pretty poor. Or players know themselves.
Yeah. When you're playing well, Donald, you know it, but equally, you know it when you're not playing well. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
does that have a negative impact on you, or do you buy into the
thing that... It can get frustrating, and we've seen a bit of frustration from some of our players being booked, you know, not unnecessary, really. But look, at the end of the day, I think the players and the management know where they're at. They know what they've done, mm-hmm. and they know what they have to do.
Yeah.
And I've no doubt, like your that comment there, it hit the nail on the head. I think the league is done. We kept our Division 1 status. Now let's get ready.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to some of the comments in the aftermath of yesterday's game, Donald, saying Kerry played better. In truth, we didn't. We have not played one decent game since the All-Ireland final, and that would worry me most. We haven't really fired, have we, Liam?
Not really, no. That's why we're saying, like, are we completely dependent on David Clifford? Now, and if you look back to last year, and when we all know how good David is, and we've spoken, but like at the moment, if teams are marking David, we're under pressure.
Oh yeah,
we're under pressure. Whereas when teams are marking the likes of Shane Welsh and these guys, the Ryan O'Neills and Armagh, there's always a couple of more fellas poking their head above the pyramid and stepping up. We need more guys stepping up. Like yesterday, we had only two forwards that scored from play. Sean Ishii in the second half and Paddy Clifford in the first half.
We actually had only one forward to score from play in the first half.
In the first half, yeah. With Paddy on, yeah.
From play.
Yeah, we've only got one forward from each half.
Thank God for midfielders and cornerbacks.
But is that right then as well, that your backs are coming up and they're
It's probably the structure of the game, the way it's gone. And I suppose the team scores, the team score regardless of who scores it. We will take a break, and after a break, we'll talk more about the match on Sunday.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming.
Welcome back to Terrace Talk, and the comments are absolutely coming in. I think we're up nearly 40 comments already, so we better start reading a few of them to get them out of the way, I suppose, in that sense. Teams just know to mark David Clifford now. Galway were the first team not to double mark him, but played a sweeper close to him. They all know that's the way the ball will go. It's like what you said earlier, it's route one to David or wherever David is, and it probably makes it easier for people to mark, I suppose, in that instance. Kerry had a few goal chances yesterday. Now, what would bother me is that we did not take any of them. Liam, we haven't been really flashing in the goals, have we?
No, I think we've only 3-1. We got 1-9 against Donegal, 3-14, 1-10. We're not getting the chances that we were getting last year.
Yeah, it's easy for people to have shots at the keeper's mistake, but remember the forwards missed more than half of their efforts, included among them some frees. I suppose that's probably talk about the goal that went in. But it's a fair enough comment. I mean, more than half the chances the forwards got, and I presume when he says forwards, or maybe it's even a she, I suppose it's his team shots more than anything else. But a return of 50%, John, is never going to win a game for you.
Oh, not at all. No,
at this level,
it's not at this level. And like, look, it's unfortunate. It's one of those things with Shane Murphy. It just, it was a kind of a freak goal, we'll call it. You know, Paul Connor had a shot, it dropped short. But look, we had plenty of chances. We had at least 3 goal scoring chances. We had at least 7 or 8 from points from play and freeze that we should, you know, that's the difference. We're not converting him. And it's a trend that has been there throughout the league. Our conversion rate is not high enough to win.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Donald. Plenty positives from the game. Things are on the way up. Was there any reason for Barry Dan to be taken off 5 minutes after half time? Didn't see the man do anything wrong. That's Jason Crone out there in Cordell.
I think a lot of people were surprised with it.
It was one of the big questions, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Particularly the way that Barry Dan had kind of enforced himself on the game when he'd scored 2 points. He's thrown himself around. Yeah, you know, and he's a go forward type of guy.
Yeah, unless now the getting back to our data, maybe his GPS said that he was wore out and he couldn't do anymore. But to me, I thought it was a big call to take him off, because if you told me to start the year that Barry Dan was going to be one of our main and better midfielders,
Dermot O'Connor, like, I mean, it wasn't as if you were listening to what we were putting on the field, was it?
You weren't, but you'd have to look at it where the midfielder and see what was he offering you. Would Barry Dan suit it with Dermot O'Connor? Would he give you that little power going forward? Because we were just after kind of getting a point, you know, and we were driving forward, you know, so the momentum was up, and next all of a sudden he was called ashore. So you'd be kind of everyone was questioning that.
Yeah, and he did score one of your goals earlier in the campaign as well, and he got his couple of points yesterday.
And he's after a great league campaign.
Yeah, at one stage yesterday went to a 7-5. It was 7 for Galway and 4 for Dingle.
That's right, yeah.
Tingle for the county championship, is it? If they only had a forward,
they're all game, cutting half there, no, straight away, anyway.
Absolutely. Okay, keep going, Don. Shane Ryan a few weeks ago, Shane Murphy yesterday, why are our keepers making such crucial mistakes? I suppose just, you know, I mean, you make one mistake, it's highlighted and glared, Liam.
Just goes back to confidence again, you know, it runs through the team. No, that wasn't happening last year because mm-hmm. there was such a buzz around, such confidence. This year, when things do, it's like anything, the harder you try, sometimes the worse it can get. And it just seems to be a kind of a thing that's running through the team at the moment.
And if a keeper makes a mistake, there's a goal.
Oh, yeah, it's highlighted straight away.
Yeah. Lads, don't be fooling anybody. We were second best all day yesterday. Well done, yeah, fair play. We're not fooling anybody. Why was Barry Dan taken off? Yeah, there's an appreciation club certainly set up here. He was having a fine game and may even have scored a goal if Sean O'Shea had passed him after that Jack Barry catch. Yeah, it goes back to the thing that he was really driving forward all the time, much in the John Daly mode and much yep. in you know, that kind of midfield Galway will go direct forward. Donald, is Dinny serving a match, Ben? I think he shook the place last week with all his honest views. Yeah, you never know. I don't know, poor Dinny, he's probably not serving no Ben at all. David Clifford picked up his 5th yellow card out of 7 games, and I'm sure he didn't play in the first 2. That's probably true. He didn't play in the first two.
He didn't play in the first two, no.
Yeah. The one thing I would say about that, okay, and people will talk about discipline and the whole lot, Davis getting a lot more attention or attention than he would have got maybe last year, and fellas pulling and dragging the whole lot, and it's not easy as a player. You have to mind yourself a bit.
Exactly, and some of the yellow cards that we said that were kind of harsh.
They were, yeah.
You know, and like it's very hard for a referee when he's 100 yards away to come back and give David Clifford a yellow card, and maybe two, like we saw above against Armagh, and two fellas hopping off him. You know, it's very hard for any player to take that. You know, so yeah, he's a big boy. He's well able to look after himself, but yeah, it's in the big games you'll be picking up silly cards like that is when it could cost you.
Mm-hmm. You'd often question a forward getting a yellow card, why did he react? And I don't know what he got the card for yesterday, but whatever has happened firstly, isn't the defender just poking the forward?
Exactly, yeah.
You know, not the other way around. So you'd question some of them, and that goes for all forwards. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm. Would John and Liam know what's the story with Mike Breen and Dan O'Donoghue? Do you want to take one each, or are you going to confer?
Heard nothing about it, any of the two of them.
Mike, I think both of them are injured, and I'm not sure where.
Oh, they're both of them are injured, yeah. But I think Stephen O'Brien and Brian O'Bigley are the next two closest to coming back. So the boys haven't been mentioned yet.
And it's unfortunate for Mike, for both of them now, because I think they had potential. They would be pushing for places on the defence.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just... You know, they've been dogged with the last 12 months.
Stay tuned till 7:30, listener. We might even ask the Beaufort club.
Yeah,
they're coming in at 7:30 talking about the club. I suppose it's like all clubs trying to survive and stay alive, I suppose. Hi, Donal. Good to see a more entertaining game. Kerry have a bit of work to do. Hopefully, they will get their act together. Good to see Liam Brosnan back. Dinny Long putting him under pressure for the championship. That's true.
Well, you see, I was doing the Late Show kind of interviews for the thing. Well, they said I didn't know much about football, so I lost that job.
The fella that was doing didn't know much about football either, so you might have a chance, you never know. Hi lads, what sense does it make having the men's and women's Galway versus Kerry matches in different pitches on the same day instead of a doubleheader in Pearse Stadium? Will they claim it was due to the pitch not being able to make it the two matches? And that's Dan in Rathmore. Yeah, interesting enough, of course, both the Kerry ladies and the Kerry men both travelled to Galway, and both games were going on pretty much at the same time. Again, it goes back to separate associations, that's it. Until there's some sort of integration, I suppose that's going to happen. There's going to be a bigger one clash than that coming down the line there, Dan, in Rathmore, because the Kerry Camogie team and the Kerry Senior Ladies team are both
on the same weekend.
They could be.
I think it's Saturday and Sunday, is it?
Yeah. Well, that's what you say, but we'll start that. We'll put the word in there, so Dan will get to watch it. Donal, my God, Croke Park needs to come down on the defensive game. Hard to watch. How can David Clifford play with three or four belting into him? Easier to watch rugby or soccer. Yeah, it goes back into teams are going to set up now to mark David Clifford. I suppose the pitch is getting smaller, really, and you know it's just something that I suppose he has to put up with in that sense, really, is it?
Yeah. There'll have to be a rule change, Donal. That's the only way they're going to start it. There'll have to be some sort of a rule change. You know, getting back, and I know listeners hate to say basketball again, but I do think that the easiest way out of it is that a team will have to keep three or four
above,
players inside the halfway line at all times.
That's our sport, Liam.
Exactly. Well, and you know,
this is not a Kerry thing.
It's not a Kerry thing.
We're talking about generally now.
Yeah.
You want to see the best players performing, particularly forwards.
And you look at Armagh, that really suffered from it, because Armagh came down to Kerry not to win.
Yep.
You know, and they ended up being relegated. Like, if Armagh go out and play football, they were probably as good as any team in the country.
And it's no coincidence yesterday that McManus came back for Monaghan. His first start, 1-7. Goal from a penalty, 5 points, 2 matches.
Hold that thought, John. I have a comment that you're going to enjoy. Don't talk about Monaghan for a second.
So can we get that rule change put into Congress there that keep four players inside the halfway line at all times?
Write it down now. Yeah. Each of our goalkeepers have conceded own goals. Does that affect the confidence of our defenders, Seamus? We kind of discussed it at bottom. Does it affect the confidence of defenders?
It affects the confidence of the goalkeeper, not mind the defenders.
Well, that's probably the bigger issue, the goalkeeper confidence. Yeah. Okay. Liam Brosnan was right about one thing a few weeks ago.
Jesus.
Just the one thing.
One thing only.
was after 17 years, I suppose, one thing
was,
to that.
Yes, please, I got one thing right.
When he said he thought Monaghan would score goals, I was delighted for them yesterday when they scored two against Mayo.
That's right. Yeah, a few late, but sure, I could see it in him.
You were the fella putting the fright across every Kerry person at half time when Kerry were playing Monaghan.
That's right, yeah. But they did look like scoring goals. Only we got the two goals instead.
It was the one goal. Yeah. Lads, we have 4 weeks of hard work to get through. And hopefully we'll be able to bridge the gap. Loads of people talking up Dublin, but there are only playing Division 2 teams of a lower level. The Dublin thing, I suppose, people still looking in the background and looking in the mirror and saying, you know, who's out there. Dublin really are still there, aren't they?
They're still there. And I think the big thing for Dublin, and it is for me, is they're going to be playing at home, Donald. No, they're going to have maybe 50, 60,000 supporters, and you can ask any player when Dublin play and when things are going right for them, when the crowd roar, it gives them that extra percentages as well. You know, and we were on about percentages early. It's a big help to them. They have a very good forwards.
Yeah.
Defensively, they're suspect, all right. But
and another thing, Liam, is you can afford in Division 2 to try out
fellas. Yeah.
With not a full team, because the same competition, while it's competitive, it's a different level. And, you know, the one big game, I suppose, they came up against was Derry.
Yeah.
And they came up short.
I think this weekend will be a big game for them. I think they'll go hell for leather for this one now. Just to prove a point to Derry, that'll be an interesting game now the weekend. Mm-hmm.
It's a real championship game.
Championship game because even Dublin are probably looking at it. That'll probably be one of their, one of the only championship games they'll get until they get maybe to the Leinster final.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we've got through most of the comments. We have a few more to get to. I want to talk about 1984, 1985 maybe later on as well. But first of all, guys, who impressed you yesterday? I mean, we played decent, I would say. Our quality was a little bit better than it was. We were against a team that, I suppose, you know, playing in their back garden, they wanted revenge. They looked a good bit fitter. I mean, they have great players, obviously, Galway. Out of the 15, three or four names of fellas that kind of said, yeah, you know, he played well yesterday, he flew the flag. And I'll take Barry Den off the cards there, for, you know, just to save repeating it again, because I think he played quite well yesterday.
Oh, Barry Den was very good yesterday, yeah. And a lot of people surprised, as you said earlier on, why he was substituted. But look, that's another day's work. Thought Tom Sullivan and Jason Foley in defence were quite good. Tom kicked two great points. You know, he's able to get up and he seems to be so comfortable on the ball. Jason Foley, he was on Shane Welsh for the biggest part of the game. Mm-hmm. You know, he nullified him. I think he's turned out to be a really good fullback.
Kevin White let him know
very early that he was on the field. I mean, the very first ball went into Shane Walsh.
That's right.
A North Kerry man arrived late. Yeah. Regularly at that cornerback.
I think the problem with our defence at the moment is we're marking space.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, there's no one marking the player. We're marking space. And so myself and John are running towards Donald to mark him, but there's no one watching who's gone over our head then.
Yeah.
So it's just small things like that.
I think as well, just an observation, Tadhg Marley, he held back last year and he stayed in on the D. This year in the league, he seems to be going forward a bit more, leaving a gap behind. Maybe that's tactical. And
Our
team's pulling him. Yeah. Is right. Look, Barry Dan was very good in the middle field. I thought Paddy Clifford had a lot of energy yesterday. You know, he picked up a lot of ball around that back line. Mm-hmm. Could have got a goal or two, kicked 2 points, you know.
So there is green shoots there, isn't there?
There's no doubt about there's no doubt. I think the rest of the forwards, it's not happening at the moment.
Yeah.
And it will happen because I think the work will be
conditions as well. Does that play a bit in how we set up? I mean, we're a light-footed team that like good ground, maybe good horses.
Football.
Yeah, you know, and the ball moves and we can move quicker. But I mean, yesterday the conditions, you know, I mean, there was a lot of slipping around the place, and if you didn't, I suppose, know where you were going, you were falling, the ball was going around. Does that pay any attention to how we play?
Probably does. Like, I was looking at the Dublin and Louth game on the TV, and you'd be kind of saying, geez, if David Clifford was in that pitch today, to know how good he'd be. It's very, like Croke Park, it probably is one of those fields where it's very hard to double and triple team players, and I think it'll probably suit us a bit more. But yeah, it's just that, even yesterday, Rory Murphy, Dylan Casey, for their outings.
Rory Murphy, I thought, was a fella that was taken off very quickly. I mean, he played two or three lovely kick passes in that gave us a bit of space, and he looked a bit of life about him.
Yeah, there's football in the likes of Rory and even Dylan, you could get something out of him.
Yeah, they're worthy of their place. And they're going to be knocking on the door come championship like. Darren Mighton came in and his work rate, he brings a great work rate.
He does, he's a buzz about him,
yeah.
Is that work rate again, that nobody knows what it means, but you keep mentioning that work rate. Speaking of work, lads, you're well sponsored tonight, both of you. The jacket myself. Ivan has a jacket on him. Come here, a couple more comments. I would give David a break for the Munster Championship. That's Pat in Killarney. Yeah, absolutely. 9 players from East Kerry board started yesterday. Ooh, here we go. I wonder, is that good? Plus 5 more on the bench. 9 and 5 is 14. They are the county champions, of course. I didn't do my sums as good as that listener during his sums, but I mean, yeah. 14 players from one club.
But we have said it here a few times that the players that Jack has inside, even the guys that weren't talked about yesterday, are probably what the best are in the county. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can turn it up and kick it around whatever way you want. I don't think there's much more out there that Jack hasn't in behind in corners that he can be picking from. Whether he's picking the right fellas, that's another thing. But I think what he has back there is the best of what we have.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, I didn't hear anybody criticising the management of the players through this league campaign.
No.
We won in All Ireland. You know, Jack, like Liam said, there's no player out there that we could say this minute should be inside.
Or shouldn't be in there.
Or shouldn't be in there, in fairness, which is even more important. Yeah. And in fairness, I think that, you know, we all know that you win in All-Ireland, difficult to come back straight away, and I think that it is a work in progress.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of works in progress, the Kerry Supporters Club, I mean, they're a fantastic group. They certainly enjoyed the whole trip all over the place. But one man, I suppose, more than most, of course, John Creedon, I better wish him happy birthday. One with a zero in it, that's what they say here in Radio Kerry. He had a bit of a party last week, I heard, blowing the race course, and Burroughs got invited, but I don't think
we
got no invitation.
Our invitation was in the post.
and we love going to the top of Croom and everything and talking about Kilgarden people. But Leanne Ryan out there, Gillian Gentleman or Gentlewoman sometimes as she's known out there, she's more of a hurler, has she? Belly High and Kilmiley Roots and the whole lot. Linda Ryan, Orla Kine, of course, DJ Downey, they all wish him the very best and very happy birthday, and that's from all the Kerry supporters.
It's a tough gang there now. You're after,
I tell you one thing, if we had them in here for one.
Kate was thrown into the middle of it there as well, Kate Ryan. That would have a good.
I probably left off the list and I'll be shot for that.
They travel up and down the country, that gang there now,
Classic supporters.
And you know, I mean, at the end of the day, they are the supporters,
they
aren't
are the
they?
Supporters.
I mean, like, it's all right for some more of us who will be looking for tickets for the All Ireland. We didn't go up, I didn't go up to Galway yesterday with basketball. Basketball's over now. Anyway, one very strange decision made on the sideline yesterday. Barry Dan was having a great game, scored 2 excellent points from play. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw him being called ashore. What was that about? And I could add another 4 of those comments, all very similar.
And blaming the GPS.
And he ran out of diesel. I don't think he ran out of diesel, which is a long way back to Dingle. A man who has seemed to have filled up the tank again, Noel Broderick, has this comment. What does the panel think of Cluxton reappearing for Dublin? And would we not try to get David Morn back to sit on the bench as an option now that the season is so short? So if there's life in Cluxton at 41, if you're out there, David Morn, you have no right to retire. You're far too young altogether. The Cluxton comeback, I mean, my take on it was very funny yesterday, because here's Dublin doing their best to get back into Division 1, and Cluxton arrives at the very last game of the season and he takes the limelight and nothing about the game itself. A strange comeback, or was it always on?
Jesus, if I was Jim, or if I was Dizzy, I'd be delighted to have him back. Because in the dressing rooms alone, you mightn't see him starting in any game.
But what message is that sending to young goalkeepers all across Dublin? I mean, this guy hasn't played for Dublin in a while. I mean, he walks back on.
He's 8 All-Ireland medals.
Aperture, John Kennedy, how many of you?
So I'd say it's more of a kind of bring back into the dressing rooms, to know, have a solid voice around there. It'd be just like bringing Kieran Donahue, these guys, into the dressing room, or Aidan O'Mahony. They're solid guys, so I don't think it'll do Dublin any harm whatsoever.
At that level, any age you can get, and look, Cluxton is an icon in Dublin, you know, and hugely respected. And I wouldn't rule out he'd be between the 6 before the year, being honest with you.
Yeah.
I reckon he'll be the next Dublin manager. I don't think he'll ever again play for Dublin, but he could take over, putting him into the dressing room. Yeah, absolutely. Now, after the break, we have no Dan Carney tonight with us about ladies football, but we will keep the boys on with us. And we will talk about 1984-1985. Liam probably hardly remembers.
I'll go after that.
You stay there, Liam. You might learn something.
Yeah,
but what I want to do, actually, John Kennedy, is that we won the All-Ireland 1984.
Yeah.
And we had an awful bad league campaign. Well, not all your fault, obviously, but you know, he was second top scorer in the league.
He passed to no one. Ambrose obviously led the bus.
Ambrose better stay listening to us. I have a bit of stats on Ambrose. But what I want to get at is I want to discuss it because we've been here before. I mean, everybody talks about Mick O'Dwyer and everything was won, but we had great championships and we had poor leagues. And we still won the championship, and that's what I'm trying to get onto, and we'll talk about that after this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we're looking back on the aftermath of the Kerry Senior Footballers League campaign. Didn't make it to the league final. Three wins, all at home, of course. And I want to bring people back. Some people will, I suppose, for some people, this will be just like yesterday. For more people, they'll probably have to go into the history books. But John, in 1984... you won that All-Ireland. You won the league, you won the Centenary Cup or whatever it was, and you won everything all around before you. How did you get on the league?
The league was always tough, Dawn, because...
Oh, that's not the answer. No, Dawn.
It was a different format.
How did you get on the league?
Not great.
He almost got relegated.
Almost.
Will I tell you how he almost got relegated? You opened to Kildare, and did you win or lose?
Lost.
Man.
Open a tie, I think.
But that's usually about a month after the All-Ireland final.
That doesn't matter. You went to Armagh, win or lose?
Lost in Armagh.
That's two defeats now after winning the All-Ireland a month ago. Like,
heads are going to start rolling.
Both away. So you see where I'm going from here. Then you brought Galway to Listowel, of all places.
One there, it's a... Or a draw, was it?
A draw. Fair play. You've got a draw. So you've 1 point now out of six. Things are going well. And then you brought Meads down to Tralee.
One and Tralee.
Yeah. Poor old Mead were beat. And then the week before Christmas, can you imagine that? The week before Christmas, right? He travelled up to Cork to play in Páirc Uí Chaoimh against Cork. Win or lose?
Lost. Sorry, we won against Cork above.
Yeah, sure, you always won against Cork.
We won against Cork, yeah.
2-14 to 1-7, best game of the championship. Then you had to wait till February. You had a couple of weeks off then, of course, for the winter training.
Christmas, winter training.
Up to Tyrone.
Beat Tyrone.
Do you think so?
I think we did. I'm not sure which year's now. No, we beat him up there once anyway.
We beat him up there once. Well, he didn't beat him up there that time anyway because it ended in a draw.
It was a draw, yeah.
Yeah, Tyrone got a draw. And then Down came down to Fitzgerald Stadium. And we had a home record. Of course, you'd won and drawn your home games. How'd you get on?
Won.
Do you think so?
I probably lost. So.
You lost.
Here's a motion. No.
You lost. And you could have been relegated, but you weren't because you survived on scoring difference, which is quite amazing. So what I'm trying to get to is that we've kind of been here before. And that's the team from 84. And you went on, of course, to win 85 and 86. What happens between that league campaign, which wasn't great, and the championship? Can you remember?
I suppose the first thing, Donald, is regardless what era you're in, the championship is number one in Kerry. Sam Maguire, whether it is Mick Dwyer or Jack O'Connor, whoever it is. You know, the league is always trying to keep your Division 1 status is important. You're the Division 1 teams coming to Tralee or Killarney. And that time, no more than now, when you win the All-Ireland, you know, obviously, you can't keep it going. It's not a switch. So there's a downtime and then there's an uptime, and I think that's exactly where we're at the moment. It's been proved in both hurling and football over the last number of years. Win the All-Ireland, there's a dip, unless you're professional. And, you know, that's the way it was, and Kerry came back and they won in 85 and again in 86. But one league final, well, during my time we were there and we were well beaten by Dublin. So I think it gives you an indication of what it was about. In Mick O'Dwyer's time, Sam Maguire was number one. And his record proves that.
Mm-hmm. So Mikko was about winning the All-Ireland.
Yes,
every cost
and keeping Division 1.
Yeah. That time too, of course, it was about introducing or finding a lot of new players. I presume there wasn't the training regime that there is now, that you'd have to train for a year before you might even sit on the bench to get a time. If I said Tommy Doyle, Ambrose Donovan, Paddy Shea and Tom Spillane played every one of those league games, is that the kind of structure where you lay down players that were kind of strong and you brought in newer players around them?
Yeah, there was quite a number of guys that were brought in for every league campaign. They were brought in for training games as well, and kept on to make it competitive. Because like any fella that got a call, no more than no. If you get a call to go into Kerry training or to go into the squad, sure, you'd run in, like, you know. Mm-hmm. Tis an ambition of every young fella to get in there. And I suppose Dwyer, look, any player that showed in a county championship at the time, or even divisional championship, they were brought in and given a chance. And it kept a bite and it kept a freshness. And then when it came to championship, obviously he picked his 21 for the panel that time, and you had a training panel at 30.
Okay. Well, we put him to the test, Liam, to see, does he remember anything about it, really? I'm going to call out a couple of players that played in some of those games. I mean, as I said, Tommy Doyle, Ambrose and Paddy and Tom, they played in 7. John Kennedy, Mike McAuliffe, Timmy Dow, Ger Power, Mick Splane, Sean Walsh, he played 6. But some of the guys that came in at that stage, Liam Hartnett, where was he from?
He was in Crokes, good cornerback.
Good cornerback, yeah. Oh, well, played for a long time, Liam, actually.
He did, yeah.
Well, you're waking up now, are you? Willie O'Connor.
Willie down from Castle Island, a great forward.
An uncle of mine.
Yeah. An uncle of yours.
An uncle, yeah.
Will you go home and tell your uncle tonight that he came as a sub against Down, he scored a point, and again that you didn't win in Fitzgerald Stadium. Dennis Kennelly.
Dennis Kennelly was St. Sinan's. He was a great minor, great forward as well for Field Rangers and St. Sinan's.
There you go. Tom Lynch.
Tom Lynch was keeper from Desmond's.
Is he my referee in basketball?
That's there, Tom Lynch, yeah. He was with Cairns Red. He's in the draft, yeah.
Well done, Tom. Yeah. I must mention that to him when I see him next time. Tom O'Connell.
Tom O'Connell is another St. Sinan's. Came through the Field Rangers that time as well. Great player. Great
and John engine. Stack.
Johnny Stack was the former chairman of the North Kerry board for My Van,
absolutely. My Van and Sinan's, good God. Donny Hartnett.
Beaufort.
Yeah, absolutely. We might talk to the gang about him later on. Davy Keane
was Kenzo Rahley's.
Well done. Sean Liston.
Sean was Bomber's brother in Ballybunnan.
No, Ger Lynch, you better know Ger Lynch.
Ger was to be Ger, after, sure.
Ger was Ger.
One of the great wing-backs.
Absolutely, from Valencia. John Healy.
John Healy was Castle Gregory.
Yeah.
He was a big tall guy, he played in the forwards. Yeah.
He played a lot of games, he played 4 games. John Higgins.
John Higgins was Mitchell's. He was part of the panel for 84, 5 and 6. Mm-hmm. You know, a great engine and a great guy in training. And a great footballer.
And of course you'll get no pass on Charlie Nilligan or Jack O'Shea. Dermot O'Donoghue, that might be a surprising one for some of our younger listeners.
Legion.
James's father.
James's father.
Absolutely, yeah.
He was unlucky. He broke his hand coming up to the Munster final in 84. He was captain.
Very stylish footballer, isn't he?
Great left leg, yeah. Great player.
Ambrose doesn't want that story out there, like.
No, not really.
No. Ambrose
wouldn't be.
Hopefully he didn't. Ambrose nominated as captain, then.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
that would be a fantastic captain as well. Yeah.
Guys, look, we'll wind it down. The league, I suppose. Look, we're going to file it under a lot of work to do.
Job done.
You know, we survived. We didn't get relegated. Couple of boys that came in from the outside, and how did they perform? And we mentioned Rory Murphy, and we mentioned, I suppose, Darragh Roach before he picked up his injury, and Stephen Ockenberg, and of course Barry Den as well. Are they kind of the players? Donald Sullivan maybe as well?
Tony Braston, I suppose, would be one of those now as well that would be putting his hand up for a starting place come championship. Yeah, no, so yeah, Jack has unearthed players and given players time to put their hands up for a jersey. But you know, I suppose when we were sitting here, we were hoping that other fellas or maybe they might put their hand up.
Are you disappointed that we didn't get any more?
Not disappointed. I just thought maybe some of the fellas that we were there that we didn't get more out of. You know, that kind of a way. But yeah, look, we have, like I said, league done and dusted now. Championship, ground hardening, the evening's getting longer. We'll be the first box to take is to win the Munster title, and that'll be the first thing that Jack will be, and we'll worry about Sam Maguire after that.
Mm-hmm. Last comment, hi lads, listening to the show down here in Waterford, overall it's been a poor league from Kerry, the backs aren't as solid as last year. I'm not convinced about them this year. Great show as always, and that's from a Waterford listener. It's Waterford are tipping in the championship. We really should be thinking further, should we, John?
Munster is, I mean, you know, Tipperary relegated, Limerick relegated, Clare relegated, like, it's not good.
We were nearly relegated.
It's not good.
Cork didn't get promoted.
Cork didn't promote it. A good result yesterday, but
still only finished third, did they?
Yeah, I'd be hoping they'd come up. You know, they secured the Sam Maguire status, which was, it's important. But Munster football is not in a good position. We will be getting to Munster final, no doubt.
There you go. We will get into another final, no doubt. We won't record that and play it back in time, just in case. Guys, thanks very much. We'll see in about 4 weeks' time, which is an awful long time, I suppose, to do without you. But thanks very much for the league campaign.
We're going on our summer holidays now. Do a summer camp.
Off you go to Portugal, guys, and we'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Oh, Kerry's hope of Division 1 hurling are over, well, officially over anyway, for another year after their feats to Offaly at the weekend. And I suppose it was a tough opener for the Kerry Minor Hurlers, and we'll look at the Kerry Under 20 Hurlers going into action, and we have a bit of camogie as well, and all that is going to fill the next half hour of our slot. And delighted to be joined for the first bit of it by James McCarthy and Richard O'Foran. Richard, as I said last week, we were kind of a first half team or a second half team. Of the one day that we needed to be a second half team, we just weren't, Richard, were we?
Well, we played very well in the first half, and that was great to see, because obviously there was a lot of criticism of the team that they weren't performing the first half. However, the last day, we should have been further ahead at half time. We had the opportunities. We played great hurling in the first half. We really drove that awfully. But, you know, we got 13 points in the first half, but we had 13 wides as well. We could have been up on the 20-point mark at half time, and would have given us a great cushion going into the second half, but we weren't. And we left, I suppose we left awfully in it, you know, and we allowed them to stay in the game. And then in the second half, I suppose, you know, that they pushed on, they had a purple patch. We came back well, and we battled all the way to the end, but it wasn't to be. But again, I suppose the number of wides and the opportunities that we had to score, we didn't take them. Played great hurling, but I suppose if it's not on the board, then you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. I think the general consensus is, from the game, that we did play very, very well. I mean, we were certainly up for it. We were well prepared for it. On the day, we played really, really well. But the reality is, Richard, if you can't convert some of your chances or nearly half your chances, you are going to lose. I mean, there was 12 wides there in that first half alone, I think.
Yeah, I think so, 12 wides, yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think the last day was clear that, like, so Jason Diggins played really well, and he's a massive addition to the team. I know the loss of Mikey Boyle was a blow. I suppose the absence of my own clubman, Colin Walsh, was a big blow as well. But, you know, we played great hurling in the first half, absolutely great hurling in the first half. But we went in 3 points up when we could have been up 9 or 10 points, and that was disappointing.
Mm-hmm. James, you've been in dressing rooms where I suppose at half time you're probably not as far ahead as you think you should be. Does that impact on how you play the second half?
I suppose it's in the back of your mind a little bit, but you shouldn't really dwell on it as such. And maybe they were thinking about the breeze, but the breeze nearly died at half time. Then, as such, like, it was just a real pity. Because, like, as I say, they without playing brilliant, they were really controlled. They were probably streets ahead of Offaly in the first half, streets ahead of them, and just chance taking. You know, it's the good teams. All they need is a 5 or 10 minute spell, and they'll rack up 10-12 points. You see, all the good teams, even the off, even in Limerick, you look at Limerick and these guys, within the space of 5 or 10 minutes, they could score 10 points. Offaly did that in the second half to Kerry as well, and it's Kerry didn't seem to have that maybe 5-10 minutes where we get right 7, 8, 9, 10 points in a row and really for Offaly to score, because that's what could have happened in the first half. And it was such a pity, like, because we gave our performances, but we got the performance, but not the result. It was just such a pity, and there'll be no one more disappointed than the fellas themselves. It'll be a hard video analysis now this week, because it'll be tough, because they will see all those chances played back for them, maybe in their own meeting during the week now, and they'll kind of say, Jesus, because it was a great chance to get to a final with Kildare. And as we said last week, there's not much team Kildare off in Kerry. And last Saturday, it nearly proved Kerry were better than Offaly, but just didn't get the result. Probably all
there was. Yeah. Richard, I suppose, look, when you lose by 4 points and you're on the way home from Offaly, I suppose it's a nice old spin down, and you're probably thinking where Kerry hurling is now. But, I mean, the good thing about it is that we don't have too long to think or too long to dwell about it. I mean, we're back in action nearly in a fortnight's time, aren't we?
Yeah, I suppose we have the week off. I suppose that's the one thing, and we're back because the performance was very positive. I mean, we have to take the positives from the game. And the first half was positive, as Jim said, that we were totally on top. We played some fantastic hurling, and that augurs well for the future. So really now, I mean, a bit like Jack O'Connor, the league is all over, you know, and we just have to focus on the championship. The league is behind us now. Disappointed, I felt this year we had a great chance of winning Division 2A, not to be. But look at, you know, we have lads back. We are improving, and now we really have to focus on the Joe McDonagh and give it a good lash. And I was surprised actually that, you know, that Wexford relegated Leash, you know, from Division 1B. But you know, I think that we can give the Joe McDonagh a good crack now, and you know, hopefully continue to grow, because we have really good players, but we have to give them the opportunity. And you know, they will develop, all these lads. You know, especially those that's walking back from injury, they'll develop, and you know, that we can give the Joe McDonagh a good crack.
Mm-hmm. Jordan Conway, I thought, particularly in the first half yesterday, was he was really at the top of his game at midfield. Owen Ross, Daniel Collins. I mean, I'd remember the big runs through and the whole lot, and they created chances. Now, obviously, some of the chances weren't scored. But, James, how many of these players will need to up another 10-15% on their own performances, probably? And they probably know it themselves anyway, going into a Joe McDonagh, because it is the only championship left in town to win now.
It is, and you know, it's. I think that, in fairness, that performance will win you a lot of Joe McDonagh matches. The scoring return won't. That won't win you the match. The way the amount of wides, the amount of, like you talk about chances. How do you define a chance? Is a chance under pressure, 40 yards over the guy on your back? Is that a chance? They'll have to really look at that. Like I said, the analysis. Look at it. Say, like, is that a chance? Could I have given the ball to a better player in a better position? Could I maybe have took another two or three steps? Should I have come back around and recycled the ball that time? They will do look at these things in training. But I think the performance is there. That kind of level, that level is what you need now. You've set yourself a bar. That bar is there. The Offaly match, the Offaly performance, that's the bar. Don't go below that and you won't be far away in the Joe McDonagh, because the main team in it, looking at it, are probably Leash. Leash now has come off and been beaten by Westmeath. So you kind of wonder how they're feeling. They're kind of saying, right, next year we're in Division 2B or whatever, or 2A. But that's all a lottery again, Donal, as I say, because the whole league looks like it's going to be restructured with the hurling league. So that could be up in the air again. We wait and see about that. Like they said, we were just talking about there last night. It has happened before, where Kerry won Division 2 and didn't get promotion to Division 1. I was there in an instance myself back in 2001. We won Division 2. They restructured the league and we didn't get promoted. So that could happen too. But no, the farms is there. So just go another step or two, and it's in the lads.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people will come out and support the hurlers. The one thing about the hurlers that I've always struck about them is that they're a fine, honest group that always give their best and give what they have. And I don't think they've ever been wanting for kind of effort and all that. And you know, it's about putting the jigsaw all together. Talking about restructuring, Richard, the poor Kerry Miners, they found themselves at the hands of a new restructuring where they went to Leinster. Tier 1, we kind of discussed it, I suppose, last week. Was it a big jump? And of course, you obviously have to play a game or two before you figure out. But it was a rough enough introduction, wasn't it?
It was, but I suppose I couldn't figure it out. I mean, last year we were in Munster, and obviously playing Tier 1 teams, and it was clear, I suppose, that you know, the standard was too high for us last year. So then it was decided that obviously our under-20s would go into Tier 2 in Leinster, and rightly so, because Kerry need to be playing the likes of, not Kilkenny, but the likes of probably Carlow and Westmeath would be Tier 2 teams. But then we were surprised that our minors were brought from tier one structure here in Munster, and then put into a tier one structure in Leinster. You know, so you're going from the frying pan into the fire. It made no sense whatsoever why you would bring them from essentially from the same level in Munster to the similar level in Leinster. The under-20s, I would agree with it, tier two, but I can't understand why our minors were put into tier one, because, as I said, it's from the frying pan to the fire.
Mm-hmm. Keeping on the minor team, minor camogie players, James, you're certainly shouting from the sideline anyway, because they're still winning.
Yeah, you know, it's for me a break from the norm, though. Like, kind of watching, like, I go to all the matches now these days with my daughter and my wife, maybe even coming to my co-wife.
The real family occasion.
Exactly. We've met our two youngest. It's just like a family day out. We're going to picnic the next day or something. But no, they're going really well. They found their level, and, you know, kind of, I think only for the first time in a long time, you will probably get 7 or 8 of that minor panel transition straight into the Kerry senior team. Now, that's not just me being blowing them up. These guys, I've known them since they're under 12. I can see, and we've coached them all up along, and other people have coached them as well, and even their clubs. There's about 7 or 8 girls that will transition straight into the senior team. So I hope that our senior team, after their massive victory again the weekend, digging into a final, they're in a final and hope to get up to Division 1B as well, like that, which I think they deserve to be. And then add in these girls that are the 17s, just 18s, there's a few girls on that age, maybe some of them are on the way, minor again next year, but there's a huge, huge panel coming through there. So I think the future of Camogie is brilliant in the county. It was maybe a better weekend for our Camogie girls than it was for our hurlers, like with the Kerry Miners. I was involved in the start of the year, and all we kind of, with that structure, I think Leinster Council would be in cagey. They said, right, this Kerry team are coming from Tier 1 in Munster, hang on a week. Carlo and probably Westmead and those teams are saying, I know, they'd be too strong for us. So they wouldn't want them to go into the Tier 2. So Kerry was just pitched in Tier 1, and that thinking, I'd say, maybe that's what happened there, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose maybe after this year, results will prove within Leinster that we are Tier 2 for the development of our own, I suppose, hurlers, and we might end up there. Because it is strange, as Richard says, that, you know, we're Tier 1 for the minors and we're Tier 2 for the under-20s. Richard, the under-20s, they're in action next weekend. They're back out. I think it's Carlo they're playing.
Yeah, on Saturday they're heading up to Port Leash. Yeah, they're, I was over yesterday morning. They were over in Lixnaw, bright and early, at half past eight, half seven all time. So it took me a little
they were being put through their paces yesterday, and yeah, they're in great shape. You know, the morale is good,
and they have an early start now on Saturday, and hopefully they'll do the biz against Carlo. But, you know, because, as I said, you know, that is their standard, their Tier 2, like the Carlos and the Westmeath as well. So, you know, good lads, and hopefully they'll do the biz on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. We hope they will. It's great that, I suppose, you know, that we're in championship mode already with our hurlers. Very quick one for both of you. Is the Joe McDonough winnable?
Yes.
Fair play to your start.
I thought it mightn't have been. I thought it mightn't have been with Laois, but now that Laois should be beat by Westmeath, and obviously we'd be at Westmeath standard, I would be as afraid of Laois as I previously would be. So I think that we have a great chance of winning the Joe McDonagh, because I think we have yet to see the best of this Kerry team. I think there's a lot more on this Kerry team.
James, positive James?
Yeah. I'm a bit wary. The Laois result was a farce at the weekend. I've seen them twice in the league this year, against Dublin and against Watford. I think they're really good. Westmeath, you know, except Dublin, and Kerry knows their cost. Westmeath can pull a performance. They can pull a performance out of anywhere, and they can beat any team on their day. You can see how consistent they were in the league. Like, we talk about that, so I'd be worried about Laois. And, of course, it's going to be really tough. You don't really write out any of the teams in the Joe McDonagh at the minute. Like, our first games are weighted down. Jeez, we can look no further than that at the minute, because that's going to be a real asset test again. Like, we've had a right one in Tralee. But I think we'll be in good shape for that one. It's just after that then, progression again. Like Kildare there as well. Like, Kildare could be on a high after maybe winning a league.
They could be in Division 1 now.
Win the league. They could be Division 1. So hang on, they're saying, no, let's win the Joe McDonagh. Let's get into the Leinster scene, the Hurling Championship proper, and so like they could be on a high. So it's going to be a really, really tough Joe McDonagh competition, but that's what you want. That's exactly what we want.
Fair play. There you go. James Weary, McCarthy and Richard, positive for on there for another week of the hurlers. Guys, listen, thanks very much. It's great to keep up to date on our hurling as well. And it's great that you mentioned the Camogie as well, because after the break, we're going to catch up with Kerry Camogie star Niamh Lean. And she'll have a little chat about how they got all the way to Croke Park, which is an absolutely fantastic achievement. And we'll talk to her after this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Hi, Paul Langston here from Devan's Volkswagen Castle Island. We are excited to tell you about our best ever electric scrappage deal. Yes, the fully electric ID4, only £39,950 on scrappage. And we will also include a 3-year service plan. So don't miss out. Call to Devan's today or ring to order your all-new ID4 electric car. Some terms and conditions apply. Devan's, your authorised Volkswagen dealer.
McKenna's top-line spring sale is now on. But hurry, it's for 1 week only. Don't miss their amazing spring offers, including Patio Magic, just £19.99. 12-litre Garden Shore Knapsack, £29.99. 16-inch Victor Petrol Mower, €199. And a petrol pressure washer for €399. Spring sale must end March 30th at McKenna's, your local top-line and expert store. Get us up, let's go.
There's a big freeze on the way, and it's good news for anyone thinking about changing their home energy. Because Calor are putting their prices on ice with a 2-year price freeze when you switch to Calor LPG. A cleaner alternative to oil, Calor gas is ideal for cooking, hot water and heating your home. So, switch today at calorgas.ie, and very soon the only thing feeling the chill will be your bill. Terms and conditions apply.
All this week on Kerry Today, you could be taking to the skies and flying to the magical city of Edinburgh with thanks to Cork Airport. Ryanair flies to Scotland's capital daily from Cork Airport, and they want to offer Kerry Today listeners the chance to win return flights for two. Plus, they've given us a daily €50 shopping voucher for the loop. Tune in to Kerry Today all this week to find out how to win. Thanks to Cork Airport.
Breaking down the weekend's sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now, at the start of the year, you would have got big odds, I would imagine, seeing that both our ladies teams, our ladies footballers and our women camogie players would be in Croke Park and Parnell Park playing in their respective league finals, where our hurlers and our footballers wouldn't. But that's the way it is, and it's a great way to be as well, because it's going to throw a little bit more light on camogie and ladies football, and I think that's pretty right. And we've been covering a lot of the camogie on this show as we've gone along, and I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Niamh Lean, and she's going to talk to us, I suppose, about that great win over Laois at the weekend. Niamh, first of all, congratulations, and congratulations to the team and the management and the supporters and the family members and everybody, because you're back in Croke Park, and that's hugely exciting.
It is. Thanks a million, Donal. Yeah, we're very excited for it.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd be a little bit more excited than that. But you've been there. You've been there before.
The excitement for a while.
Absolutely. You've been there before, of course, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. So we've been lucky enough to play there twice now. And to be honest, like, if you told me at the start of the year that we'd be back in Croke Park, I probably wouldn't have believed you, just because we didn't think Division 2A was going to be on in Croke Park. So it's unreal. Like, we got confirmation during the week, and I suppose it was just the extra incentive to make sure we got the win over Laois, to make sure we got to Croke Park. So, yeah,
Yeah. Let's talk about the Laois game. I suppose there might have been an initial disappointment in the fact that, I suppose, it didn't get played where it was meant to be played. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I suppose, with the weather and the whole lot, you ended up over in Knockinure. Fantastic, I suppose, community field and small club to host it in the first place. But it was all about playing and about getting the results. And you performed very well against Laois.
We did. And, yeah, can I just say, again, on behalf of the team and management, a massive thank you to the people in Knockinure. Like, they couldn't have been more welcoming. The pitch in immaculate condition for us, like, considering the weather, and it was really disappointing that we couldn't get where we wanted to play. But yeah, big thanks to the Knockinure people. But yeah, we got the win. It was a tough game, you know. I suppose the scoreline doesn't actually reflect it. You know, we did have a big win in the end, but it definitely was a tough game. Like, Laois are no easy target.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I mean, look, camogie, you've had your battles with Laois down the years at different grades and different clubs and the whole lot. So you would have possibly known, I suppose, coming into it, how difficult that game was. But 2:15 is some clipping on a really bad day, I suppose.
It is, yeah. And to be honest, I think it's kind of the work we've been putting in behind the scenes, just making sure that we are getting those crucial scores at crucial times. And you know, all the work that we've been putting in since January is definitely starting to pay off, because we are getting more and more scores, and it's great to see, and it's great confidence boost for the girls as well, going in ahead of Croke Park.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I suppose at one end, I suppose scoring is always great, but defending, something that you do know a small bit about, 1-5, I mean, against a pretty decent Laois team, that certainly gives you confidence heading into a final, knowing that, you know, that you can put the brakes on players.
It definitely does, yeah. I think our backs have been very solid all year, and not to blow my own trumpet there as well.
No, talk about Sarah and Aoife.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, the girls have been fantastic. And look, we've kind of swapped people in and out depending on days. So Kira Sullivan would have been starting wing back for us, but we kind of gave her the break on Saturday because she was playing. She's actually joined captain of the minor team, and last Sunday they had a great win as well. So we slotted Kate Lynch from midfield back wing back, and sure, she played outstanding again. So yeah, all the backs that have been playing have just been really, really solid.
Mm-hmm. There seems to be a bigger emphasis on the squad now. I suppose maybe down the years you were probably stuck for numbers of players at the level that you were competing with. But there does seem to be a lot more people that they can bring off the bench now, and there is kind of a stronger panel.
oh, there's definitely a strong panel. And even like the next 3 weeks will be intensive training because, you know, there's places up for grabs. Like you see Julianne O'Keefe coming off the bench and scoring a point with her mm-hmm. first touch. You know, like it's unbelievable to see. And I suppose we have a lot of girls underage, minor playing up with us. And like they bring an intensity again that we hadn't had from underage before just because we didn't have the numbers. But it's great to see. And like even mentioning the minors again, like they're after their third win yesterday. That's 3 wins from 3 on the trot, which is just incredible. You know, I suppose when we were a minor, there were some years that we were kind of struggling to compete. But just to see them like not just competing, but actually winning and winning quite well, like they could go and win out the campaign, which is just would be a massive boost for Kerry Camogie. So it's definitely on the up. And every year we're seeing more and more girls come into the panel and make that impact and actually, you know, I suppose make the rest of us work harder training to keep our place.
Mm-hmm. And of course, that's what the development of Camogie needs, I suppose, within the county. It does need the next generation of minors and under 16s and 14s coming through, but also coming through very competitively and maybe even knowing how to win games as well. Because obviously, I mean, time and tide waits for nobody, but it's a case that you do need to kind of replenish the squad. And it is great that there's a minor team coming up after you.
Absolutely, yeah. We have a good few of those girls, like I said, training up with us now, and it actually would make you excited. Like, their enthusiasm is infectious. You know, they really, really want to play. Like, there's some girls that can't play up with us yet. They're under 17, and, you know, they're itching to go for next year already, which is unreal to see. And, like, there's definitely 5 or 6 girls there that will come up to the panel next year, which is huge. Like, normally when you think of minors, you might get to 2 or 3, but, like, we definitely have 5 or 6 that could be coming up pushing for places next year. And, you know, that's going to be the case now for the next couple of years. And it's incredible, you know, and it's, I suppose, a credit to all those involved in Kerry Camogie that it is getting stronger every single year.
Mm-hmm. Laura Collins still can find the net?
She can still find the net. I think she felt a bit bad. She said the goalie had saved the post and she kind of tipped it over the line. But she found the net anyway. And she's been doing this for us in a couple of matches. You know when you put Laura in full forward that there could be a goal on the card. So yeah, I'd say now
that's the Camogie her, I'd say. Absolutely.
We might have to keep her in there.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be no bad place to keep her either if she can keep scoring goals. Come here, finally, Niamh, I suppose the next couple of weeks now, it's about knuckling down, I suppose, during the training. The fact that you've been in Croke Park before, it probably takes the gloss out of it in a sense, and it just becomes another game in another venue, whereas maybe down the years it would have been the story or would have been the headline that Kerry Camogie is in Croke Park. But now I presume the fact that so many of you have been there and you've played there twice before, it's just a game and you just knuckle down to win the league, really. That's it.
Yeah, definitely. To a certain extent, I suppose there's still that bit of excitement just because, like, you know, at the end of the day, we have only been there twice. We've been lucky on one occasion and unlucky on the other. So hopefully this time can go our way again. But meet our going to be no, you know, they're not
absolutely no pushovers.
So,
exactly.
So it's just, yeah, like you said, knuckling down now over the next 3 weeks, pushing training hard, pushing each other hard, and look, we'll see what happens. You know, finals, it's all on the day, really. Mm. It's hard to predict what could happen, but there is a lot of girls there that haven't played in Croke Park before as well, so it's nice for them. You know, it's such an occasion, and I think anyone who's able to go out in the green and gold on Croke Park is massive, you know, for the families, for friends, and for the team, obviously, as well. So, yeah, it's a huge occasion again, but we won't overthink it and we'll just go out and try and win the game.
Absolutely, and especially with a hurling in your hand as well, to make it a little bit more special going into Croke Park on one of the biggest days for yourselves. Listen, Niamh, fantastic to speak to you again this evening, and listen, wish all the team, the players, you know, first of all, our congratulations, but of course, like you said, the job isn't done yet, and it's a job I'm very confident that you will certainly get done, and it's great to see Kerry Camogie on the rise, and it's great to see you being discussed in the same circles as Kerry Hurling and Kerry Men and Kerry ladies and the whole lot, and it's, I suppose it's all part of putting on the green and gold jersey, and you're great representatives for the county, and we wish you all the very best to look here from Terrace Talk, and hopefully fingers crossed, you might come in with a bit of silverware and we might get to talk to you across the table as opposed from the phone. But listen, we're very grateful of the access that you give to players, and it's absolutely fantastic. That is Niamh Lean, of course, the Kerry Camogie star. She doesn't love her own trumpet too much, but I mean, certainly one of the best defenders around in the game. after the break, we will change tack and we'll put the hurleys away and we'll talk about what it's like to run a club. It's hard to believe that Beaufort G is nearly 100 years old. Not there yet, but they're getting close to it. It's a club back there in Mid-Kerry, I suppose. A small rural club, G background, I suppose sandwiched in between the big towns there of Killarney and Killorgan. And we're going to check in with some of them to see how they're developing and how they're developing for a better future, because they have a number of projects on there as well. And we'll talk about that and we'll talk about the club in general and we'll do all that after this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, Beaufort GAA Club is a GAA club that caters for men and ladies and boys and girls and football all the way from under six to senior level. And both its men's and ladies' teams, of course, at the moment compete at the Kerry Intermediate Football Championship. And of course, it's part of Mid-Kerry for all those that do know. And of course, they're the current Mid-Kerry champions. That's always a nice flag to fly when you're a small club. And of course, for people that don't know where it is, I suppose it's under the mountain and it's between kind of Killarney and, I suppose, Killorgan on the other side. And they're in the middle of a very exciting project, I suppose, to improve their facilities so they can further develop it, I suppose, for their club members into the future. And I'd like to say I've been joined by club chairperson Neely Doherty, Mary Jo Coffey, just to confuse you. A man ring you now straight away and call you something else, but we'll call her Mary Jo Coffey here. And of course, a man's voice, once he starts, you'll know it fairly quickly, and that's Colm Kelly. Good evening to you all. Delighted that you made the journey all the way over here. Neely, we'll talk about the project in a while. And about how to get it over the line, and maybe our listeners as well. But before we start, give us an overview of the club at the moment. I mean, how many players, teams, your facilities, what you're like. If I was playing County League in the morning and I headed down to Beaufort, what would I expect? Would I get a cup of tea or a cup of coffee? Would I get a bit of abuse on the sideline? Or would you have good umpires or that kind of stuff? In a GAA terms, tell us all about yourselves.
Well, I suppose, Donald, thanks very much for having us in. Thanks to Kerry Radio. And what would you find in Beaufort if you came out to Beaufort in the morning? I think you would find a first-class hairdressing rooms there anywhere, like, you know. And I suppose our facilities and the field are quite good. We upgraded our lighting system in the past 12 months. And our teams, yeah, as we mentioned, we cater for all teams from under sixes up along to up to seniors in both ladies and men. And I suppose for a small club, we feel very proud of what we've achieved over the years. And I suppose for me personally, over the last few years, I mean, when I came into the club, or when I became chairman or vice chairman first and chairman then, I suppose the club, when I became vice chairman, the club won the junior All-Ireland. And I think, you know, that was a good start. I suppose, unfortunately, then we ran into COVID. And I think COVID put a damper on everything, like, you know, and it made progress very slow for not alone for Beaufort, but for all clubs. And, you know, I think at that stage that we got through it, and I suppose financially we got through it, like, you know, we were lucky enough that we were pretty strong financially, like, you know. But
you had good treasurers before you, is it?
We had a very good treasurer, and I don't think you'll find a better treasurer.
It's hard to find good treasurers. Colm Kelly, it's harder to find good players sometimes as well. And when we done this with Two Sis, we asked the Two Sis people, name the players that people will know from your club. And before we knew it, we knew loads of players. And if I started with you, I'd probably say the Lynches. I'd say probably Kevin Coffey. Obviously, Mort Kelly, I suppose, even going back to some more. If you ask me at my time, I'd probably say John Brendan, maybe Gary McGrath, I'd probably say Kieran O'Shea, and then people are relating to the Beaufort. Oh, I remember them. Tell us a bit more about the club, the history, and some of the players that other people might remember.
Yeah, indeed, Donal. You pointed out in your introduction that we were wedged between Killarney and Killorgan, and in the early years of the club, that was one of the problems the club had. Any good players that were coming through, they either played for Lone Rangers or they went into Killarney and played for Dr. Crokes or maybe Legion. And it wasn't really until the parish rule came in that we got the club on some kind of a firm footing. And then we participated in the 40s, we participated in the East Kerry board as a junior club, and in fact in 1944 we won the East Kerry Junior Championship, and that team is now part of folklore. They're all gone to their maker, but it was great memories, and we highlighted it on our first Lawn Club Day. We honoured the survivors of that team. We had great players. You mentioned Kevin Coffey. Prior to Kevin, we had men like Paddy Breen and Mikey Coffey. and but the club wasn't really functioning as a senior club, so these guys played with other clubs. My dad was a Lone Rangers man himself, so he never played for Beaufort either. He played his football in Clonagale, the Geraldines in Dublin. Kevin Coffey came through in the 50s, but Kevin worked with ESB. He was based in Dublin. He played his football with Clonagale in Dublin, and even though we still claim him as a proud Beaufort man. I suppose the big breakthrough, Donald, came for us in the 60s, and we had a series of tremendous underage teams. We swept McKerry boards kind of 61 to 64, both at under 16 and minor level, and it was from those teams that players like Jim Coughlin, Paddy Lynch, Brendan Lynch, John Coffey, those lads came from those underage teams. But it still took us until 1972 before we won a major championship at senior level, and we won the County Novice that time in 72, beating Aunnescall.
It's where all the great journeys begin.
That's it. And we were still kind of around county leagues, started around that time, but we were down in Division 5, and then the improvement was gradual, and we eventually won our first Mid-Kerry in 1976. And then we entered what we would call the golden era of Beaufort football. We won five mid-Kerries in a row. We won a county junior, beating Ginniwell in 77. We won a county intermediate in 1980, beating Dingle. And I would say to you that probably that intermediate campaign in 1980, with never more than three or four subs done. This is quite amazing when you think the numbers they have as subs at the moment. That was an outstanding team. Paddy Lynch, Brendan Lynch, it was several families involved. Coffey's, Dan Coffey, Dominic Coffey, Courtney's, Donald Courtney, Jimmy James Courtney, Patty Hartnett, Donald Hartnett, quite a number of families involved. They made
and very recognisable Beaufort names. People will remember those names and say, yeah,
and a few Sullivans thrown in as well. And so we actually, in 1979, we had, in the space of about 6 years, we'd come from Division 5 to Division 1, and in 79 we contested the Division 1 final that time against no less a team than us and Stax, and lost by 2 points in a tremendous game in Killarney. And we played Stax again the following year in the semi-final, and we won our sixth McKerry then in 82, and by about 83, 84, that golden era, that fantastic team had kind of disintegrated. And
and it's the kind of thing with clubs, you have a circle, you have a golden age, they come through, and then you have to kind of go back a small bit and probably wait your
if
turn
again. If you look
again.
Even look at Temple Now over the last 3 years, they've come from nothing to the highest level in Kerry, with a very small group of players, you know, in real terms. But we have a few firsts as well done along the line. If you look at, say, the late Jim Coughlin, Jim played full-back for Kerry Miners for 3 years in a row. That was a record in itself, 65, 66, 67. At the same time in that period, Brendan Lynch did 2 years in goals for the Miners and then was outfield in 67. Jim also had the unique distinction of captaining UCC in a Sigerson, and his father had done it in 1928, Pete Coughlin. So I think that's unique, subject to somebody else ringing you saying, look, we know two others.
They're on the line now saying yes for this. We've all won them the club. But no, it's an amazing achievement. Yeah. So you've given us, I suppose it's a template of every club really in Kerry. They've all had their kind of periods. They start off low, they have a golden age, they have players that hit the thing. But he had something as well, and I'll go to Mary Jo. I mean, while this was happening, he also had a very strong ladies set up in your club.
We did, Donald. I suppose it's a tribute, really, to the band of volunteers we have. Over the last few years, there was a big drive on to get a lot of parents involved, and we're absolutely delighted now that we're, like, even in the girls' football, we're fielding teams from all the way from under 8 up to our senior our team that are playing the intermediate championship this year. And also, we have players on every Kerry team, inter-county team now from under 14. We have a couple of girls there under 16, the minors, and absolutely delighted that we have our two, Hannah O'Donoghue and Fianna Tangney, back with the Kerry senior ladies. And really, it is a tribute to the work being done at ground level in the club. So our numbers we're hemmed in, like, as you say, between two big urban areas, and we're depending really on Quillna and Kilgobnet now that the Black Valley school has closed down. We're just Kilnaboy School and Kilgobney School, and there's very good work going on in the schools as well, but our population is small, but we're managing to compete anyway, and we're delighted with what's going on at the moment in the girls' side.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Neely, to put all that together, you need the facilities. I mean, I have great fond memories of going to Beaufort, and there was that little pitch at the back where, I don't know how many All-Irelands were won at under 12 level, between everything and crowds all over the place and shouting and roaring. But you're converting that into something new and wonderful.
We are. We're converting that into an all-weather pitch. And I suppose the reason we're doing that is because, now, I suppose, look, going back a number of years ago, we did have a field and, you know, but look, we lost that, and I suppose, you know, that's history now. But, a part of the reason, I think, that we decided to go ahead with this development was that, especially in the winter time, that we were caught, or early spring, we were caught with training. And the juvenile pitch was being used for training, and, you know, it ended up then in an awful state in the early spring, or late spring, and there was a lot of work to be done to it. So there, I suppose, about 2 years ago, I remember meeting Frankie Coffey one evening over in Beaufort, and what we were talking about actually was doing maybe something small, just a small-scale all-weather pitch. And then I think it had developed from there, and eventually we decided we would go ahead with a full-sized juvenile pitch, and it has taken off from there. And the work started in it last September, but I suppose there was a huge amount of pre-planning done by Frankie, in fairness to him, and he put a lot of time and effort into it, and you know, we applied for capital sports grants, and we were lucky enough to get 135,000 in the capital sports grant side. But look, the whole facility is going to cost us about 300,000.
Colm, I suppose sports grants, people say sports grants, God, it's getting paid, but that's not the reality of the world at all. The sports grants only probably forces you down the line to actually get a lot more money. A certain amount of the project is covered by a sports grant, but the reality is, and it's the reality for every club, you have to go out and get a few pounds.
No doubt. I'm just looking back through our records. So our first efforts at fundraising date back to about 1984-85, when we were buying the pitch that we are now in, and we bought it at a very reasonable price, only about £30,000 at the time, from Pete Coughlin, who was a tremendous man locally for the club, farmer, school headmaster. And then we fundraised for that, and it was well subscribed. We came along then 3 years later in 88, and we built our first clubhouse. And again, that was well subscribed, but we did a lot of the work voluntarily on the clubhouse that time. We bought the materials and we pulled men. Every man who had a trade in the parish was hauled in and said, you've got a job to do.
Apprentice or not.
And yes, and got a great response. And then we did the huge project in 2009, 2010, when we revamped the whole clubhouse, did a massive extension. And that project cost us the bones of $500,000 that time. And we got 200,000 sports capital grant, which is great, fantastic, but there's a gap of 300,000 on you're trying to do the project. And we raised 220,000 we gathered ourselves, which was amazing at the time. I don't think
for a very small club.
Yeah, we knocked on every door, and we got fantastic support from individuals, from companies, from the people abroad, you name it. We got tremendous support. And then we gradually kind of bridged the gap through our lotto and various projects like that. So we're not unused to raising money as a club. But your big worry always is that when you do have a major fundraiser like we had in 2009, 2010, our first meetings over the last couple of years, when we were talking about the all-weather pitch, was, can we go back to the people again and ask them? But I mean, it's for the people of the parish, though, young families, young kids, and they see what we're doing as a club. And I think the support is a done, you know, as far as they're concerned, you know.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, listen, we'll talk a little bit more about the project with our guests after break, and we'll take a break now.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Terrace Talk, Donal Barry, with you until 8 o'clock this evening. We're with the good people of Beaufort J, and they are, of course, developing their new all-weather pitch, of course. Neely, it's a huge project. We talked about the huge money that is needed for it. We have a small bit of sports funding put in the corner, still an awful lot to bridge. What kind of events are we doing to get that?
Well, what we're doing is, I suppose, our main event, and the one and only event that we have at the moment anyways, that we're selling our tickets. You buy one ticket for €25, you could get 3 for 60 or you could 5 for 100. And we started to poke.
And we're giving away a car and not a sheep or something.
We have a car. Yeah. The car is there. The car is, it's a Ford Focus. And the Ford Focus will be raffled on Easter Monday.
Good stuff. Good for driving around Beaufort, then, yeah.
It will be perfect for driving around.
Up those hills and down those hills and those.
Net claim tax back and that, but the club can claim back the tax. I'm not sure under what mechanism it can be done, but I know it can be done. And we'll say for a PAYE worker that makes a contribution of €250, the club can, depending as possible on the taxpayer's tax situation, the club can claim back maybe another. But I'm not sure if it's 20% or 30%. I think it's 30%. Yeah. I think
we won't go all Charlie McCreevy in the budget on that, but basically, if there's money there and you have it in your pocket and you want to support a good rural club that are doing something good for the future, your hands are open for it anyway.
Our hands are open for it. We're willing to take money, we're willing to take donations at any time, even after Easter Monday.
Fair play to you. Oh my God, fair play to you. Come here, Mary Jo. I called you Mary Jo Coffee, of course. That was to throw people off, of course. They're all known saying why I'm talking to us, Mary Jo Curran. Why didn't I give you your proper title? Can you imagine the comms coming in? I mean, I didn't think you'd be listening to me at 10 to 8, but they certainly are. Mary Jo, would Kerry have had a Mary Jo Curran without Beaufort? Where would you have played football?
I suppose not too many people know it. I actually started in Lone Rangers. We didn't have a club in Beaufort, nor a Hellessy. And my next door neighbour there, Noreen Coffey, was going down, and I'd say when I was about 13, you cycled down to Killarland there. So my first club, which I wouldn't be really advertising too much, but it was Lone Rangers. So
mine was St Mary's, but I don't ever talk about it either. We all have our history. But
do you know what? We had great days, like playing, I suppose, Declan Felvey, Barry Harmon, those fellas, they looked after us very well altogether. But eventually, there were so many Beaufort players going down, we decided we'd set up our own club above in Beaufort. And it would always have been a dream of ours, I'd say, but it was a tale of woe for many years. I remember Castle Island were very strong at the time there, and they beat us, I'd say, in 4 or 5 county semi-finals and finals in a row, and eventually we won our first county championship. I'd say it was one of the worst games I ever played for Beaufort anyway, but we won a right tough battle outside in Ardfert. And from then on, like we had a couple of great days, which our club won 2 All Ireland Club 7-a-side titles, years that Kerry senior ladies were beaten. But just overall, I'd say it was the club, I suppose, to me, driving in the front gate of the field in Beaufort is the field of dreams. Like just driving in there, looking at the pitch, looking straight up to the Gap of Dunloe on a fine evening, and the McGillicuddy reeds there when the sun's shining on them. Like I can't think of a better place to be honest. I just love, it is the field of dreams, and I just love, I suppose it's in our blood and it's part of our culture, and every, the GEA, I've played other sports, but at the end of the day, like even the day Beaufort won the All Ireland Junior Championship up in Croke Park, you'd be so proud. And every time that a Beaufort player, that a team goes out onto the field, and even that we have players going on to represent on mid Kerry teams and on Kerry teams, it's a very proud day for everyone at Beaufort, and it's the same with every club.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Colm, the honest truth about it is that you're trying to create a field of dreams for the next generation. I mean, you gave us the history, went back to the 1940s, so we can talk about history forever, and it's great to know where we came from. But the future, obviously, is in the mind as well. And this is what this project is for.
It is indeed. And the price of land and whatnot that Chairman Neely touched on there, Donal, has forced us into this, really. We tried and tried and tried to get other or alternative fields, but anything that did come up was nowhere near our own field, and you couldn't have people travelling for miles for field B if field A wasn't available. So the only plausible solution was to go for this all-weather pitch. And we have a very young, vibrant population now in the parish. We're almost like a dormitory town of Killarney and Killarney. And we have a lot of tremendous young parents who are very keen to get involved in the club. So we, as a club, must do everything possible to facilitate them and hold on to them and keep them interested and show them that we are making every possible move to steer the club in the right direction and to have the facilities there for them. We have a fantastic clubhouse at the moment, great gymnasium, open to members, general public, etc. And the pressure on our field is enormous. We are having to protect it as best we can and do a lot of work on it, so the all-weather facility will definitely take some of the pressure off the field.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Neely, I suppose we talk about the club, but I mean, obviously, there's great health benefits to having a GAA club. I mean, I presume people walk around and you have all that as well, and the well-being, and I presume with the clubhouses, people come in and have meetings and the whole lot. So there's a greater or wider community than specifically the GAA as well.
There is, yeah. There's a walking track around the pitch, like, and even we have got those lights. You know, when we upgraded our lights last year, we put on those lights that, what's the name for them? They come on, like, you know. when we're passing them,
they follow you around the place.
Sensor lights,
yeah.
And I think it's a great facility. And even there during COVID, I think there was a lot of people maybe used to walk there, you know. Maybe they shouldn't have been inside in the pitch, like, you know. But I think it was noted at times that there were people walking around there. But look, you know, I think maybe this COVID thing was taken a little bit too far as regards keeping old people in after.
Yeah. Mary Jo, I mean, obviously your playing days are over, but you still love going to games and watching the next generation come up and watch the next under sixes and eights and tens and the whole lot. I mean, how excited for you would you be to go down and watch the next under Beaufort or next Mary Jo Curran playing at in an all-weather facility on your own track?
Look, I know it better than anyone this week and last week, Donald, because even with coming a month ago there in Kerry, we've spent days on the phone trying to get pitches to play our mini sevens, and even in mid-Kerry last week, there wasn't a GAA pitch available. We were very lucky to get the community field in Cremon to host the mid-Kerry mini sevens, and we're trying to look for a field now for the county mini sevens and the primary game trials and the all weather. I was actually up at Pres Milltown, won there All Ireland. I'll give them a shout out there on Saturday evening, like a fantastic match above a wonderful facility, an all weather pitch in Feathered. And I was going up the road saying 2.5 hour drive up, but the minute I went in there and saw the pitch, and I was speaking to the girl from the LGFA, and she said they knew the game would go ahead. A beautiful facility up there, and the field was beautiful altogether. So I can't wait for Beaufort to have that and to be able to, that we'll be able to play and train on it.
Mm-hmm. Colm, wrapping up, we're in injury time. How do I find Beaufort apart from the map? Is there a website that I can contact? Is Facebook, social media?
If you just Google Beaufort GAA Club, it'll pop up on any good laptop.
Or even bad ones.
We would like to make the point as well, Neely has touched on, Donal, we've had tremendous support thus far, which is very common for us when we've fundraised, but we just want to make that extra push, particularly with our people abroad. And I know my brothers who live in Boston are listening to your programme always, and we'll have relatives and friends far and wide in the world, so we'll appeal to them just for one last blast to get us over the line. We're just short a few grand at the moment, and it will make all the difference, and they won't regret it. Come to Beaufort any day, come to the field, have a look at the facility, and you'll put your hand in your pocket.
Absolutely. My father played for Geraldines as well.
Really?
A year ago now, you see. Yeah. You don't have all the history to yourself.
Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
I've lost